I, at this point, don't even know if there is a solution to make All-Star better. Unless you're going to tell these players, hey, we'll pay you $1 million if you win the dunk contest. Like, that might have to be the number to get some of these bigger guys to compete. What's up, you guys? I'm Rachel Amita, and welcome to the Courtside Club, where we give you a courtside view of all things that are going on in the world of sports and entertainment. We are back today in my home studio, but this weekend I was actually at NBA All-Star. So that's what I wanted to talk about today, because there's a ton of dialogue going on online right now. And I actually got the firsthand experience of what NBA All-Star was like this year. And I'm going to tell you guys this right now. NBA All-Star is dead. It was one of the worst All-Stars I think I have ever been to. And like I told you guys in my video last week, I don't even stay for the games on Sunday anymore, because I've been going to All-Star for the past 8 years. And normally the game on Sunday is one of the worst events of the week, because nobody plays competitively. And this year they exceeded my expectations on how poorly and how low the competition level was in this game. So I was there for All-Star Saturday night, and it was different because this is the first All-Star that I've been to where they put any of the events in the football stadium. Like, the atmosphere, for whatever reason, and we can talk about the reason, just the energy just felt really, really low for Saturday night. Whereas I feel like Saturday night normally is the best night of All-Star. Everybody's looking forward to the three-point contest. Everybody's looking forward to the dunk contest. And I feel like for the past few years, the energy just hasn't been there. And this year, to me, and the 8 All-Stars that I've been to, was the lowest energy of all. But let's get to the dunk contest. Dunking, something that everybody loves, something that everybody always wants to talk about, a contest that I am always looking forward to. We have 2 G League players, a rookie, and Jaylen Brown in the dunk contest. And this is no disrespect to anyone. Obviously, we wanted to see Mac back in the dunk contest because he put on such a show last year. But Jaylen Brown, I will say, this is maybe against the grain in my opinion here, but major props to Jaylen Brown for showing up. He's not somebody that you think of as being this crazy in-game dunker. I don't know. Tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think of Jaylen Brown as a dunking guy. But he showed up. He's an NBA vet. He showed up and did his best. Were his dunks good? No. Did he deserve to be in the final 2? I also don't think so. But it was NBA vet versus NBA G League player in Mac McClung, who, of all the people, Mac McClung put on the best show, and he didn't even perform as well as he did last year. Stephen A. Smith went on First Take today and said that LeBron James is directly responsible for ruining the slam dunk contest. Refusing to participate was the beginning and the spark plug of its demise, period. There is no one who can dispute that. So let's look at this clip.
The slam dunk contest. I got the stat here, Shannon, because when we're talking about the slam dunk contest from 1985 to 1997, 5 of the 13 slam dunk contests were won by future Hall of Famers Jordan twice, Dominique Wilkins twice, Kobe once. Michael Jordan participated in the contest 3 times. Dominique Wilkins, 5 times.
5.
Every high jumper, every skywalker, every above the rim talent salivated for the opportunity to compete in the slam dunk contest. It stopped when LeBron James said, "I'm not doing it." And from that point forward, the stars who followed didn't feel compelled to prioritize a slam dunk contest. The tradition that was set by others preceding LeBron James. We watched LeBron James, and then you know what he did, Shannon, to rub it in? He'd do it on the layup lines before games. You went to the games and you had people with the cameras clicking and going crazy because they saw LeBron James using a layup line pregame as his own slam dunk performance. And he did it on purpose, okay? So what I'm saying to you is when we look at the demise of the slam dunk from an historical perspective, there is no one who knows basketball who will refute what I'm saying. There is no one who would do it. LeBron James refusing to participate in the slam dunk contest was the beginning and the spark plug of its demise. Period.
You know what?
There is no one who can dispute that.
I think Stephen A. makes a fantastic point, and I think that that's just the undertone of All-Star Now, is none of these guys want to be there, and it's so very clear. You look at the dunk contest that we had a couple days ago, and Mac and Jalen, I forget who even it was, they're recreating Dominique Wilkins' dunks that he did in the dunk contest. In 20 years, we are going to have no dunks to recreate unless you want to go back to Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine, because that was the best dunk contest that we've had in recent times. There's going to be no legends that you're recreating. Are you going to recreate Mac McClung's dunks? And no disrespect to him, because he seems like a humble guy who's really hungry and unfortunately just isn't good enough at this very point in his career to be a star on an NBA team. But he comes out there and competes. So why are, you know, I've gone so back and forth with like saying that I see both sides. I see why the guys who are all-stars want to take it easy and don't want to risk injury. And it's, you know, every other guy in the league is getting a break during this time. I've seen that side, I think, almost to a fault, because what we saw at NBA All-Star this weekend is no excuse. There's another clip from Kobe, and fast forward to years ago, where he's talking about guys play harder at pickup runs at UCLA than they do in the All-Star game. Like, how much injury are you risking by playing defense at 60, 70%? Because what we saw on Sunday was defense at 20% possibly, and then laughing as you're like on delaying, letting a guy run by you and dunk. And how many guys also, when they had the opportunity to dunk in the Sunday night game, and I know I'm going all over the place right now, they had an opportunity to dunk in the game and just didn't. They just rim grazed or did a little layup. Luka was doing it. Joker was doing it. I forget who it was. One player got denied at the rim because they just weren't warmed up and didn't really care. So for dunk contest, for the Sunday night, which used to be like those two big ticket things that everybody wanted to turn into, I, at this point, don't even know if there is a solution to make All-Star better. Unless you're going to tell these players, hey, we'll pay you $1 million if you win the dunk contest. Like, that might have to be the number to get some of these bigger guys to compete. Because I don't know if it's ego. I don't know if they're too scared to embarrass themselves if they don't win and they feel like they have to live up to a certain thing. Injury's not it. I'm sorry. You're not going to get injured dunking. I guess I've turned the tide of feeling bad for NBA All-Stars, because what All-Star used to be was for the fans. All-Star's not coming back to Indianapolis. I don't even know when. Probably not in the next 20 years. There's a lot of basketball fans in Indianapolis who are really excited about it. Even Adam presenting the trophy after the game, he said something like, well, East, you guys scored the most points. Like, he was visibly disappointed with how little effort was shown on the court. East and West combined for 168 three-point attempts. There was one play where Luka took two dribbles. It was in the middle of the quarter and shot from the free throw line on the other end of the basket, like on the other end of the court, past half court. It was really bad. I think there's been so much conversation about it. I don't know if it's something where the NBA realizes this is a problem, so they are going to just lean more into, hey, let's put all our energy and effort into the in-season tournament because we can make that exciting. Or let's focus on the play-in tournament during playoffs, and All-Star becomes something that just slowly fades away. It's just sad to me because I do remember as a kid, All-Star being one of the biggest nights in sports. It was like comparable, maybe not to the Super Bowl, but it was like that thing that you would get so excited for. That was like almost the biggest night in the NBA season. The biggest weekend in the NBA season was All-Star weekend. And we were really excited to see all these players get together, play against one another, the one-on-one matchups that you would never get during regular season, Kobe and Mike going up against each other. And to see that fire die and to see also the players not seem to care at all. Anthony Edwards said, it's a break. I don't think nobody wants to come here and compete. He's one of the young stars in the league that a lot of people think is going to be like this next generation of NBA superstars. And he's saying it straight to the media. It feels like a break to me. I don't really want to compete. So I guess kudos for being honest. However, it's for the fans. And I think by showing just such a lack of care about this weekend and showing that to the fans, it's not going to be good for the NBA as a whole. And it's really, really sad to see. There's one more tweet that kind of sums up everything. All joking aside, the NBA has an issue with events. The season's too long. Regular season games don't feel special, which is very true. The regular season is suffering heavily. And on the one night where they can showcase the actual product to casual fans and the general public, this is what gets delivered. And it's like, this is the stage where we can show, hey, this is what the NBA is all about. And you have a bunch of superstars who look like they just feel so entitled that they don't have to be here. They can play however they want to. And this is coming from a place of somebody who actually loves the NBA and wants to see it succeed. And I work so much with the NBA and I've been following it for however many years. So this is criticism and complaints that I'm giving. And I feel like a lot of sports media people are chiming in. It's coming from a place because we actually love the game and we love the NBA. And it's sad to see where it's going. That there has to be a $500,000 prize in the in-season tournament for guys to come out and play hard. They don't play for the pride of their team or themselves anymore. They're only playing for whatever that next check is. Or they, so many rules about we can't sit certain superstars. The fact that we had to make rules about sitting guys is because people were just sitting out when they didn't feel like playing. So it's the integrity of the game, and I don't know where all it stems from. As I was watching the All-Star game this past weekend, it had me thinking about the next generation of superstars that we're going to have in the NBA, because with LeBron retiring soon, with Steph getting older, it's like this wave of superstars is about to be out. So who is next? And the NBA is in a weird spot, like we talked about with the All-Star game. It doesn't seem to be much leadership. The mentality of the NBA seems to be different. There doesn't seem to be as much defense being played. There's no rivalries that we see in the NBA right now. There's not much player-to-player, like head-to-head rivalries that we see. It seems like everybody is friends right now, whether they're playing against each other or with each other in the All-Star game. But one clip that was circulating online from NBA All-Star from a while back was Kobe talking about what he thought about the NBA All-Star game. And I want to show you this clip in comparison as to what LeBron said when he was asked about the All-Star game.
I think the All-Star game in general needs a little revamping because it used to be competitive.
Yeah.
It used to be competitive. And like, you know, fans want to see the best pickup game in the world. That's what this is. They don't want to see you running up and down and dunking and doing all this crazy. Like, they want to see what happens when you get this collection of best basketball players on the planet and they play and they go head up against each other.
Man.
I mean, you guys play harder at a pickup game in UCLA.
For real.
And ain't billions of people watching.
For real.
Definitely do.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely do.
They turn
the All-Star game needs a little changing. I always love competing in them. I didn't lose many of them.
Nah, me and CP used to talk all the time. You took it serious.
Yeah, we went it. Like, I don't think me and CP, when we played together in the All-Star game, I don't think we've ever lost a game.
Yeah.
And we used to look at each other and say, okay.
Going serious. Let's they go. Don't want to play, we going to play.
Fourth quarter, let's go get them.
So then let's see in comparison as to what LeBron said about the All-Star game.
Is this what players want, though? Is this what you think what fans want, too?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's something we need to figure out. You know, I don't know where's the median, because this is what a lot of the games are starting to look like now, too. You know, we wanted to, you know, get more, you know, more pace into the game. We want to get more shots. We want the game to be more free-flowing. We stop letting the game be, you know, freedom of movement, a lot of freedom of movement now, and that's what a lot of our games is in the regular season now. It let us tighten up in the postseason. So it's a deeper dive into a conversation of how we can shore up this game. Obviously, from a player's perspective, you know, it's fun to get up and down, but at the end of the day, our competitive nature don't like just being able to just have free-flowing scoring like that. So, but I think the good thing that came out of tonight is none of the players were injured, and everybody came out unscathed, or, you know, how they were before the game started. So, but so it's a deeper conversation.
So I guess to me, with these two responses to essentially the same question, Kobe talks about how he wants to be competitive and he wants to win. And LeBron said the best part about the game is that nobody got injured. And so for better or for worse, you can see where the mindsets are with Kobe being the era before LeBron, where I feel like everybody talked about Kobe passing that torch to LeBron and being the face of the NBA, being that one superstar, Mike passing it to Kobe. With LeBron's mindset being like that, oh, I'm just glad nobody got hurt. We want a free-flowing offense, and obviously we tighten it up during playoffs. He's essentially saying, like, yeah, we don't play as hard as we do during playoffs, which I think is a general thing that NBA players do. But in recent years, it has gotten to a next level of not appreciating regular season games or not having – taking them as seriously as pretty much anything else until you get into playoffs and beyond. It was interesting to me because I don't know what the NBA is going to look like when LeBron goes. Who is that next face of the league? These guys were also asked who they would pass the torch to. LeBron and Steph both were asked. Both of them mentioned Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards is another player who talked about All-Star just being a break for him, and it doesn't need to be that competitive. And mind you, I'm not saying that these guys have to put all of their eggs into the All-Star basket, but it does say something about their mindset just in general and their competitive nature. Because you have guys like Kobe who are just dogs. No matter when they're on the court, they're going to go out there and win. That's all they want. They can't help but be competitive in those moments. They're not thinking about, oh, let's make sure nobody gets injured. Like, that's for the celebrity game. That's for people like me who are playing. Like, let's just not get injured and have a free-flowing offense and let everybody touch the ball and let everybody shoot. That shouldn't be the mentality of a professional basketball player. And I think just having that mentality trickles down to the rest of the NBA. So who is that guy who comes out here and has the killer mentality that fans love, goes out there with a fire every single night, brings his A game, doesn't want to be friendly with every other guy who's playing on the team opposite him? The Joker, Nikola Jokic, has been MVP for however many seasons. However, he makes it very clear in his interviews also that he just can't wait to get back to his horses. And no shame to the guy, that's who he is. And he's a great basketball player and he comes out there and competes. But that's also not somebody, when we think of that Mamba mentality, or when we think of Jordan and the reason people still put Michael Jordan as a GOAT above LeBron, is because of his mentality. So where does the NBA go from here? Does it go somewhere where, you know, the average score in an NBA game is 150 to 140? Like, where they're averaging 150 points a game because nobody's really playing defense like that, and there's a lot more fouls called because you don't want to injure players, and it just goes in that direction. It's something that us as fans get used to, and we get used to them not really competing or until playoffs or during the in-season tournament? Or is there somebody who's going to take that torch and really, like, bring basketball back to the game that I feel like a lot of us love. I will say that I think in order to figure out who our next superstar is, I think one of these younger guys needs to win multiple championships. If Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the guy, OKC needs to win back-to-back. Or they need to win 3 in 5 years. Or maybe it's Jason Tatum. Maybe the Celtics kind of push back into that narrative as being one of these iconic teams that and live up to their past. Maybe it's Jason Tatum leading them to the finals and winning back-to-back. But I think one of these younger guys has to win 2 to 3 championships in order to get that respect and for us to be like, okay, NBA is in a good spot. Like, this is our leader. So who is that next guy to take the torch? And how do they do that? Is it Anthony Edwards, who seems to be a dog on the court, although he doesn't give a rip about All-Star clearly? But does he have that killer mentality to take his team and win some championships? Does Ja Morant have that mentality? I know he's gone into some trouble in the past, but can he turn that around? Because I think he's one of those guys, is one of the most exciting players in the NBA right now. Obviously, it's going through injuries right now, and he had a suspension because of the trouble that he was getting in. But can he turn it around and be one of the faces of the NBA when our superstars leave? I don't know the answer to that. And there has been a lot of catering to players with just rule changes and how they're protecting them that has made the game less physical. But again, I'm saying all of this, even, you know, in this video today, from somebody who is such a big fan of basketball and a big fan of the NBA. And I don't think that the NBA is going in the direction that we want it to go. And it's not, it just feels like the integrity of the game, it just isn't as special. LeBron also recently said that he's not sure if he's going to do a farewell tour because he doesn't do well with praise, which I thought was really funny. Somebody tweeted, my guy, you literally have the Chosen One tattooed across your chest. I absolutely think that LeBron will do a farewell tour, and it will be such a scene, and I think it will be great for the NBA, and it will bring a lot of excitement. But when LeBron leaves, we're going to have a couple years to kind of figure out what are we focusing on now. Because even so much media, the NBA, everybody is focusing on, like, LeBron has still been the head of headlines for the past 20 years of the NBA. I don't know what's next, but I would bet money that he does a farewell tour. Absolutely. There's no way that he doesn't. There's no way that he's just like, after one of his last games of the season, just like, yeah, I'm retiring. That's it. But yeah, you guys let me know in the comments who you think is going to be this next generation of NBA superstars. And if you think that there's anything that the NBA could be doing better to get back to the homegrown, competitive, killer instinct basketball that we all know and love. And we've seen it in spurts over the years, but in general, the NBA just isn't at that point right now. Like, what do you think that the league could do better? What do you think players could do better? Let me know in the comments. The decades-long feud that has been going on between Carmelo Anthony and Coach George Karl is continuing on in 2024. And recently, Carmelo went on his podcast to talk about it a bit. So let's take a look at what Carmelo had to say.
Oh, we was going to have issues. The first day he got the job. He got the job a couple days before we played Milwaukee Bucks. So the whole thing was, I'm not coaching no game. My first game, I wanted to be against Milwaukee Bucks. Cool. Go back home. They fucked you over there. I know the business. I know the game at the, you know, and I really don't know the game when he came to the team. I'm 21 now. Mm. All I know, I got a big name coach coming. George Karl, Coach Milwaukee, Coach Seattle, Gary Payton. You know what I mean? All of that. We get to Milwaukee after shoot-around, call me to his room and tell me, hey, man, like, I think you overrated. Like, I you have a lot of work.
Yo, that's crazy. First sentence?
Listen.
Look at this. Look at this. Nigga don't even want to look at you, B.
No. Yo. Nah, yo. Nah. Hey, George Carl, watch your fucking mouth, man. Yo, hey,
he started that narrative, though, like the defensive narrative. But I'm going to get to that point. The first shooting round, he come to me and say, like, look, man, I think you overrated. We have a lot of work to do. I know I ain't. You know what I mean? I know I got a lot of work. I got a long way to go in this league. But my nigga,
You just got here.
Like, you don't need to ask no questions of, like, who's who, what's what, what's going on, what's the vibe, individual meetings with every player to introduce yourself. You ain't do none of that yet. You called me. Told me I was overrated. Looked at him. All right. So, yeah, you remind me of, I see your role on this team. You're more like Detlef Schrempf.
Bro, nah, get the fuck
out. No, this is where it's born. This is a fact.
Nigga said that now, bro.
First of all, I don't know who Detlef Schrempf is, but George Carl clipped this video and tweeted, "Hey, Carmelo Anthony, let's not do this. You're telling stories that are 20 years old. Let's move forward." And you were overrated, and you wish your game was as efficient as Detlef's. Which is actually, to me, this is just hilarious. This is one of the comments says, "Bit ironic. You wrote a whole book not so long ago with stories that took personal shots at Melo, Kenyon Martin, and JR." Another person commented, "Zero rings, zero championships, zero retired vet players that like you, one tenure getting blessed enough to coach Melo. Numbers don't add up, unfortunately." I personally, I'm one of those Carmelo enthusiasts. I don't think that Carmelo was overrated. I think that Carmelo is one of the best scorers in NBA history. And listen, not all scorers are going to be championship winners. It's Carmelo. You got Allen Iverson. There are guys who are iconic Hall of Fame level players who don't add up to winning championships. And I think Carmelo is one of those guys. Maybe I also have a personal bias because I've worked with Carmelo multiple times and he seems just like a good human being. So I even think like him telling this story on the podcast, like to me, didn't even seem like he was shading him that much. They were laughing about it, but George Carl still seems to have a bit of beef with Carmelo Anthony. Step into a world of natural wellness and Caribbean flavors with Mabi Artisanal Tea, the embodiment of plant power and hydration. Take a sip, join the movement, and embrace a healthier you. Visit MabiTea.com or your local Sprouts Farmers Market now to experience the taste of the Caribbean in every revitalizing blend. All right, you guys, so George Carl is still going in these tweets. He said, "I've wanted to turn a corner with Melo and see him celebrated in Denver and in general. After his BS this week, I'm unsure again. What do you think? Should Carmelo Anthony be honored for his best years, which were with me, in Denver or not?" And he did a poll, and 46% of you guys voted yes, that he should be honored in Denver for his best years. And then after that, he tweeted again, and he said, "I'm willing to chop it up and hash things out on your show, Melo. Are you?" And he tagged him. And then he posted a photo of like a throwback, super throwback Carmelo Anthony in a Nuggets jersey, which also, by the way, Carmelo Anthony was the first NBA jersey that I owned, actually, because I used to watch him at Oak Hill as well when like him and LeBron had that crazy game. You remember? Well, I remember it was like a big part of my childhood when they went up against each other in high school. And I was a huge fan of Carmelo in high school as well, because that like LeBron Melo era is just like my golden years of watching basketball. I will say, though, I would love if he really is reaching out and saying that he wants to chat with Melo on a podcast. I think these two should absolutely do it. I think that would be great for NBA media. But you guys let me know, is Carmelo overrated? Should his jersey be retired in Denver? Should he be honored in Denver as well as in New York, even though he doesn't have any rings? And I think with that, you guys, that's all we have for Courtside Club today. Thank you so much for watching. Make sure that you thumbs up this video and subscribe, because we have new videos every single week. And I hope that by next week's video, my voice will be a little bit better, because I will be finally over whatever this sickness is that I have. And I have a bit more energy for you guys. But thank you so much for watching, per usual. And we will see you next time. Bye.